Welcome to the Elixir Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, diving into the Kansas City Chiefs here as we continue to round out the AFC West. I have a couple of theories on the Chiefs, so I'm excited to talk about them here. Losses include Tyreek Hill, DeMarcus Robinson, Byron Pringle. Additions include Marquez Valdes-Scantling, Juju Smith-Schuster, Ronald Jones, who's allegedly potentially on the cut line, which is interesting. Sky Moore. Was selected with the 54th pick in the draft. And Isaiah Pacheco, of note, 251 overall. Plays per game last year at 63.9. That was 11th. 44.3 dropbacks per game. That was 3rd. Design rush attempts, 19.6. That is 28th per game last year. Design pass rate, 3rd in the league at 66.4%. Played a quick tempo to 27.1 seconds per play. That ranks 9th in the league. In a Patrick Mahomes-led offense, the 2nd highest percentage of attempts behind the line of scrimmage last year. When you look at it in 2020, Patrick Mahomes ranked 17th in deep passing rate. It dropped to 22nd. Last year, so as a team, so 30th in terms of short passing rate, 25th in terms of medium passing rate. Again, defenses kind of just forced them to take underneath stuff, and I think you can scheme. It's tough to guard Kelce and Hill, but you can scheme them out of certain things. I think that this offense is a lot more interesting this year because you have additions of, you lose Tyreek Hill, but you have Marquez Valdes-Scantling that can operate as a deep threat. You have Juju Smith-Schuster who can do some of that underneath stuff, right? You have a guy like Sky Moore who has some versatility to do a little bit of everything. They're using in some gadget stuff here. Heck, you have an additional running threat too if you want, like, Ronald Jones, Isaiah Pacheco. I think that there's a lot more diversity in this offense that could actually help this team sort of combat some of the coverages that they were facing last year. So that's one thing I think that's really interesting. And I found that 2nd in terms of passing attempts behind line of scrimmage, like that's just, you can't really have that if you're Mahomes. Like that's just he's just too damn good for that to be sort of where he's living. They ranked 13th in terms of yards per play. That is 7.3. So, again, even though it was a, quote, down Mahomes year, it's still a good season, right? Like, it's still a bad Mahomes year is, like, could be a career year for a lot of people. I think that's a big takeaway here. Touchdown rate, 5.5%. It was 11th. 13.7% sack rate, 30th. Again, he just is able to not turn pressures into sacks, and that's a really good skill to have. 6.5% scramble rate, that ranks 7th, and they have a 10.2% leakage rate, which is 19th. So pretty close to the median there, how that all boils out. So yes, scrambles a little bit more, but yes, doesn't take sacks at that high of a rate, so it kind of puts them right in the middle. 28% of their passing attempts were on play action. That was 9th. They actually had a negative split at 10.5. I wonder if that has to do with some schematic stuff about what was happening on those plays, particularly with Tyreek Hill. So I'll be really interested to see how that goes going forward. But I just think like that's too that, like Mahomes is just, again, he's really good, and just to think that that's going to continue to happen with sort of these negative splits on play action, it's odd. Again, you go back into 2020 as well, they were just above, they were actually ranked 28th in terms of play action versus non-play action. They were just ahead in terms of play action passing versus non-play action passing. It's certainly a weird feature of Mahomes is that he hasn't really gotten the bump from play action. So we'll see what there is with that. Maybe it goes up a little bit. Maybe it's not a huge thing that we expect with them. But you would just think, hey, even a move from 31st to 25th is a positive move, and it'll help maybe a couple tenths on the yardage per attempts. First in running back routes per dropback, that stunned me. 23rd in running back targets, that's also stunning. That's not a good stat for someone like Clyde Edwards-Helaire. Darrell Williams was targeted at a lot higher rate in terms of the targets that he ran, in terms of the routes that he ran, in terms of when he got targeted last year, than Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So it's not just the offense. It's not just the Mahomes thing. It looks specifically like a Clyde Edwards-Helaire thing. 17th in terms of wide receiver routes per dropback, 20th in terms of wide receiver targets per drop, 5th in terms of tight end routes per dropback, 7th in terms of targets per dropback. No surprise there with Kelce being up there at the top of the position. Red zone had 180 red zone plays, 7th in the league. 43.9% red zone rush rate, good for 25th. So again, throwing it down there, that's good. Red zone running back rush rate is 64.6%, good for bottom five number. So again, there's some scrambling there, some availability of Mahomes down there as well. You get some of those funky Kelce plays, you get some end around stuff as well. So this isn't a situation that necessarily consolidates for the running back to score a bunch of touchdowns at point blank range. It's more, can you get someone that can consolidate that receiving role, so that way you're just getting more targets to running backs where they're running a ton of routes. All told, the running back expected points was 18th. Again, I think if you just get a higher percentage of your routes that you're actually targeted on, that could go way, way up. And that wouldn't be terribly surprising. So 23.4 points per game. It's good for, again, 18th. Wide receiver, 39.1. That's good for 9th. 18.2 at tight end. That is good for 3rd. They ranked in the top 8 in both pass blocking and run blocking. They were 2nd in run blocking. I wonder if there's something more there to explore in terms of maybe exploring a more run-heavy approach would be something that how do you combat what defenses do in terms of playing umbrella coverage? Well, you pound on them, right? And you've seen they've done this a bit, right? There was the game against Buffalo where Buffalo just wanted to say, all right, like take your 5 yards per attempt on the ground. We're going to play high safeties and not let you beat us at all. And they lost, right? But they held Kansas City. They contained them, relatively speaking. We'll see if maybe Kansas City is able to sort of do more of that in terms of drawing some of these teams out of some of that deep coverage as well. So I do think there's a give and take to this stuff. Teams are going to play more lighter boxes. They're going to play smaller linebackers. They're going to play all this stuff. Right? Having a hulking tackle like Orlando Brown, who's excellent in run blocking, right? That's something to combat. That type of coverage. So again, this is a give and take in terms of the stuff. So I'll be interested to see how this team pivots. Not typically a run heavy team, but that could be something you sprinkle in a little bit more and use as sort of a counter to some of the defensive strategies being used against them. 7th in terms of expected points per game for Mahomes at 22.6. 5th in terms of points per game at 24.3. They rank 3rd in attempts per game at 38.7. Mahomes is a elite passer. There's no surprise about that. He's the best in my database in terms of points per dropback at 0.62. And at 0.6, that's passing points per dropback. He's 0.68 in total points per dropback. That's only behind Lamar Jackson. Clyde Edwards-Helaire is at 0.72 yards per route run, only targeted on 12.4% of his routes run. That's a really low number. Compare that to what Darrell Williams did. 15.9% of his routes ran. He was targeted on 1.30 yards per route run. Yeah, he ran 20.4 routes per game. That's good for 12th. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, 17.8. That's good for 20th. So again, there's a lot of volume there to go around. If someone could fill it that was good, I think that there's something there. I'm not sure that Edwards-Helaire is going to ever be that guy. Tyreek Hill was about 100 yards under expectation last year. Again, it's curious. about what happened there. And I've heard some rumblings after he left. You always got to be careful about buying the quotes about people that leave the workplace, because who knows? Yeah, this can be a little disingenuous is the word, but not truly reflective, right? People sort of air their dirty laundry when people are leaving. But it has sounded like he wasn't necessarily the best. I don't know if it's influence is the right word, but maybe the easiest person on Mahomes in terms of some of the target stuff. So we'll see how that goes. I found some Marquez Valdes-Scantling stats pretty interesting. 45% of his targets last year were deep targets. When you look at that in comparison to the rest of the players in the NFL, ranked number one in terms of percentage of his targets that were deep. And I found this fascinating. He had 22 deep targets on 49 total targets, six catches for 261 yards. Contested catches, he was basically 0-for-3. Again, small sample size caveats there. Small sample size caveats apply, but it's not like abnormal, I would say. But you look and there's actually no drops. He's not dropping the ball. Three of those are contested. He doesn't come down with it, right? So again, you should expect maybe one and a half more. It's still a crazy, crazy low number. And when you look at the reception rate on players, like he ranks 88th out of 103 guys who had at least eight or more deep targets. Again, there's some small numbers in here, but that is just a wildly strange number for a Aaron Rodgers receiver. I looked at this a little bit more, and I was like going to try and go back, and Game Pass used to have it so you could go watch each play. You could kind of filter it. It's not as helpful anymore. When you look at the individual grades for Marquez Valdes-Scantling, he's above the median in terms of the actual PFF grade for him on those plays. Again, that's an odd thing. I think if you're going to take the guy he can run deep, and run really fast and run by people, I think I'd rather have Mahomes throwing to him, because Mahomes is going to take another half a second sort of running around doing his Mahomesian stuff. And that's Marquez Valdes-Scantling unlocking. I went back and I watched, there's some film analysis on Marquez Valdes-Scantling from his time in Green Bay. And you see some of these targets from Rodgers where they're underthrown, they're sort of into coverage that makes it tough to, they're not capitalizing on some of the skill set that Valdes-Scantling has to offer. I think that a guy like Mahomes might be able to draw that out a little bit more. So definitely interested in how that's going to come out. I think Valdes-Scantling could really, almost in a poor man's Cortland Sutton type of role, can capitalize on a lack of realized air yards. So that's the big thing that I would say about him. I think Juju Smith-Schuster, again, I don't know necessarily if it's a huge ceiling type situation, but Juju Smith-Schuster, everyone from that Pittsburgh offense has kind of been a little bit under efficient. It's probably underplayed because of how rough Roethlisberger was at the end. I think it's clear with Juju Smith-Schuster, was good at like 17 years old. He's probably good, right? Like it doesn't need to be a ton more complicated than that. Juju Smith-Schuster was good from 17 years old. He's probably pretty good. That's kind of my thought and my feeling on him. Really where we stand. So I think that he can be a really good player in this offense. And is he a 150 target guy? I'm not sure. Is he a guy that could see, he could see 80, 90 catches? Yeah, I think that's possible. So that's kind of my take on him. Again, I think he's a higher floor guy. I think Marquez Valdes-Scantling is the higher ceiling guy. And we'll see where Sky Moore fits in. I'm not sure it's going to be a huge, huge impact year one. I think it might be a little bit more... he hasn't gotten a ton of first-team work. So I think it could be a little bit more of a split there than we might expect. So be watching for that. Travis Kelce, again, he's one that there's... I could go a couple of ways on. I could say, hey, listen, the defenses last year kind of keyed on them. Figuring out Mahomes is not truthful. Like, that's not, I don't think that's actually a fair way to say it, but figuring out ways to maybe limit some of the damage that Mahomes can do is a different story. When you look, it was kind of down all the way across the board for Kelce. It's his lowest yards per route run since 2015. It's a massive drop off. He was at 2.5 in 2020. He dropped to 1.84. Last year, he, again, hadn't been below 2 since 2015. He hadn't been below 2.2 since 2017. That's a massive drop-off. His ADOT came way down as well, so that's probably a related thing, but it's his lowest ADOT since 2016. You know, so that's part of it. You look at some of the contested throws as well. Those were down. In terms of, I don't know if, I think you could potentially look at one thing and say, hey, listen, maybe Mahomes didn't trust him as much because he just wasn't willing to throw contested balls into him. That could be part of it. I think maybe the flip side of that is, well, he's running it at shorter distances and he doesn't have as many contested opportunities. I think that's a fair part. But I'm open-minded to the idea that there's some stuff going on. There's some... He's aging, right? When you also look at it too, missed tackles forced, he was at the highest of his career with 19 missed tackles forced. So again, you sort of look at that. There's some contested stuff there that it's down, but he's forcing a ton of missed tackles as well. I don't know. It's an interesting thing. Again, you're splitting hairs. It was 92, 11, 25, and 9. And that's his split stat. I mean, right, we're splitting hairs here. And again, if he's going to see 130 targets, this is like that scene from it's a Major League where the guys are arguing about the ball's too high, it's too high, and the other guy's looking at him, and he's like, who gives a shit, it's gone, right? Like, that's for fantasy purposes, it's kind of like the geeks with spreadsheets. If he's going to go 92, 1100, and 9, right? Like, that's... All right, pack up your computer. But again, you look at some of the efficiency stuff, and it could be a signal of some stuff as well. Lowest NFL rating of his career, you know, and that goes back to having Alex Smith as well, like by far his worst NFL rating of his career. So yeah, I mean, I'm pretty high on him. I think he's the right. In certain circumstances, I think he's the right bet. Like, if you're trying to make an upgrade at tight end for a contending team, I think I'd rather have a. I think I'd rather spend a little bit less on Travis Kelce and use that to turbocharge my team than to spend all the way up on Kyle Pitts, who I think's maybe got a lesser ceiling this year. You know, so that would be, I think, a little bit of the balance play there at the position. All right, looking next up here at the dynasty costs. And relative to the underdog rankings, Mahomes 4 at underdog. He's 2 in RDP. Perfectly appropriate up there. I don't have a problem with him 1, 2, 3, wherever. Like that's those are fine. That's a personal decision between you know that you need to make. I'm fine with Mahomes. I think Mahomes and Allen are the two best bets. And if you want to take Mahomes first, I wouldn't argue with it. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, underdog 28, RDP 29. So that's an interesting one. Again, I think he probably lacks some ceiling just because I don't think he can take all of that receiving stuff. So that would be the one thing I'd watch for there. Maybe is there a chance for a guy to consolidate this receiving spot? That's what you need to watch for. Definitely it's not Ronald Jones. He's underdog 50. He's RDP 51. I would suspect that underdog is going to fall as well because he's going to be He looks like he's on the roster cut bubble. Isaiah Pacheco, 57 and 55 respectively, so pretty close there. I expect his underdog to rise, so that will be a situation to watch. Juju Smith-Schuster, underdog 24, RDP of 39. So that's one where, again, he's like 25 years old. Again, it hasn't been a great trajectory thus far in the last, call it 2 years, but if he produces a top 24 season, be really interested to see what the reaction in the market is for him. Again, he was paid a lot less than Marquez Valdes-Scantling was, right? So if you sort of start looking at these things in terms of what teams are prioritizing, heck, what Kansas City is prioritized, I think that's an interesting one. Marquez Valdes-Scantling 46 at underdog, 69 in RDP. I just think that's too low just because it's their ceiling there from that deep, that's just, you know, if you're right, that's going to be a massively consequential thing. So I think he's a target guy there. I've taken him several times sort of in that range. Sky Moore, 45 at underdog, 35 in terms of RDP. I think you're looking for him to flash and, you know, and then you can potentially use him as an asset or hope that he's a wide receiver one for Mahomes going forward. Kelsey's underdog one, RDP of three. So, again, I think you could pay in tight end premium, you could pay a couple rounds less in terms of the cost for him and probably have a little bit better ceiling this year than Kyle Pitts. So, those are the things there. Again, I'm in on Mahomes. I think I'm going to continue to monitor Pacheco. I think is definitely worth doing. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, we'll see. You know, at that cost, if he could ever, he's just never been a good receiver in terms of an efficient one. So that's kind of my cause for concern. And I would say if the wide receivers are available, sort of, especially Marquez Valdes-Scantling, but if Juju is available at that cost, like in the late 30s, I think you got to take him. So that'll do it for this edition of the team previews, the Kansas City Chiefs. And until next time, continue to embrace the variance. We'll talk again very soon.